Now we come to the gospel for this vigil of Christmas, and we're given a choice. We can either read the genealogy of Jesus as it is in Matthew, or we can read about conception of Jesus according to Matthew. So I'm going to take a little time with both. Genealogies are important to me. God works in and through generation. Yalad is the word for to give birth, to generate. And the Toledot are the generations. The book of Genesis is divided into compartments by the list, the Toledot, the generations. God moves history. God cares for people through generation. And generation is the act between a husband and wife by which they beget a child. That's the secret to history. Can you understand what a blasphemy abortion is? Those are God's plans. Those are God's children. Did you destroy them because they're going to be a bother? That's blasphemy. They say, you know, like somebody wants to ask God, why don't you raise up great statesmen, great scientists, great philosophers and thinkers to guide us? And he said in reply, I did, but you killed them all. And so genealogy is the way that God directs history. And destroying children is the way to destroy history. And so this first text is the very opening lines of the Gospel of Matthew. And then later on we have the rest of the story. It's called the Book of the Generation of Jesus Christ, Son of David, Son of Abraham. Why would he pick David and Abraham? As there's going to be a lot of people named here. Why does he say in this specific way, Jesus is Son of David, Son of Abraham, or the other way around, Son of Abraham, Son of David? Because these are the two promises. In your seed, you see, will be, in your Zeta, will be the blessing for the whole world. And it's not seed, like our English word seed, can mean your generations or one person. And Zeta in Hebrew has that same connotation. But there's another seed that narrows this down. It's of your seed, David. Those are the two promises through which God promises and promised to restore his people and to bring salvation to the world through Abraham, the monotheist, the only one in the world, and through David, the king of Israel, king of God's people. And through his seed, finally, will come Jesus, who is the son of Abraham and the son of David. And now, to trace that line, now this is not the kind of, if you go out to Salt Lake City, where the Mormons are, and you give them your name, on computer they can figure out and give you the list of your ancestors, see? Well, they didn't have that back in these days. So this genealogy is true, but it's also symbolic. For instance, there are all these women who are mentioned. And you know, it's so amazing. The women are all irregular. There's something wrong with them. Except, of course, Mary. It's very interesting that there are many studies of these genealogies. I remember I did a review of one of the books back in 1970. Very fine book. Forgot the author right now. The purpose of the genealogy is to connect you with history. You see, It's the going on. God works through generation. That's why I say abortion is blasphemy. You are not only killing a child, you're disturbing God's plan for the world. And so that's what's wrong with it. It's murder too. Okay. So Abraham begot Isaac. And that's where it starts off, you see. And then it goes down. I got it somewhere here. Yeah, the became the father is the way it's translated. The Greek text is genesen. Because you see, it's generation. God's plan for the human race moves through generations. And so to trace the generations that brought about the incarnation, you know, the Word of God became incarnate. He was present from all eternity. He was present in the providence which brought about that finally he was the child of Mary, who is of the line of David, as is Joseph, his legal father. And so Matthew and Luke both, though their lists are not the same, they're tracing for us this genealogy. It would take us a long time to go through the differences and why and so forth. But I do want to point out, as I say, Abraham became the father of Isaac. Isaac, the father of Jacob. Jacob, the father of Judah and his brothers. Judah became the father of Perez and Zerah, whose mother was Tamar. Now, who is Tamar? Tamar is really, his son's wife. But he was not generating children. So Tamar posed as a prostitute, and Jacob had relations with her and gave birth to Judah and his brothers, you see. And Perez became the father of Hezron, and it goes through this list, you see. And then Ram the father of Aminadab, Aminadab the father of Nashon, Nashon the father of Salmon, Salmon the father of Boaz, whose mother was Rachab. Boaz, whose mother, you see, was Rachab. Rachab is a harlot. Rachab is the famous Rachab of Jericho. What is Matthew doing? He's trying to show us that God was not embarrassed to come among us in a shady situation. See? It's not anti-feminist at all. It's got nothing to do with that at all. He wants to point out that the women are out of order. It's taken for granted the men are out of order. Every one of these guys practically is a crook, especially when we get into the list of kings. Boaz became the father of Obed, whose mother was Ruth. Ruth is not a Jewess. She's a Moabite. So you see, Jesus is Jewish, but way back in his genealogy, he has a Gentile mother. You see how powerful these things are. I better hurry on time here. Obed became the father of Jesse. Jesse, the father of David the king. And that's, you know, read the Old Testament, read about Ruth, read the book of Ruth, and understand what happened then. Then David became the father of Solomon, whose mother had been the wife of Uriah. Solomon is born to succeed in the line. He's born of murder and adultery. Why does he put these down there? So we'll be encouraged. He's not afraid to be part of us, even though he is almighty, infinitely pure God. That's why. And so then, Joram, the father of Uzziah, and goes through the list. And then, this is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. And that is the second text, and we only have a few minutes, but I want to point out some things. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about, okay? When his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found with child through the Holy Spirit. They're in a small town in Nazareth. They're engaged. They're not living together. And she becomes pregnant. Now, we're dealing with two saints, Mary and Joseph. Mary must have went and told Joseph, this is what's happened. And he, you see, the text says, then, since he was a righteous man, yet unwilling to expose her to shame, decided to divorce her quietly. Until about the 6th or 7th century, there was a whole opinion which has been revived now. Why was Joseph afraid to marry her? Because she was an adulteress? He knew she wasn't. Because it'll look like she's an adulteress, you know, and I want to make her, you know, as safe as possible. No. Why did Peter say, get away from me, Jesus, I'm a sinful man. This is too holy for me. That's the opinion of many of the early fathers, revived again by St. Bernard. You see, because the angel says, do not fear to take Mary. He's afraid to take. She's conceived by the Holy. This, you know, the one in her womb is conceived by the Holy Spirit. This is beyond me. This is beyond my, you know. So I've got to find a way of let her be, you know, put aside quietly. And I am too sinful to be involved in this. And that's why the angel comes. Says, Joseph, son of David. Ha! That's the son of David who's going to give the Davidic messiahship to the Messiah. You see? Do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife into your home. For it is through the Holy Spirit that this child has been conceived in her. The angel confirms what Mary must have told him. But the angel told her. And as she began to feel the stirring in her womb, this is all for real. When she visited Elizabeth, according to Luke, what is this that the mother of my Messiah should come to me? She also knew by the Holy Spirit. You see? And so she will bear a son, and you are to name him, you, of course, because he's the father, and by the both of the house of David, presumably, he is, and therefore the Messiah is of the house of David. You see? All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophets, and now Matthew goes back to cite Isaiah 7:14, behold the virgin. Well, the text, yeah, the Greek translation is parthenos. The word in the text is ha'alma, which means the young woman, usually evoking, especially if you look hanatu in a cognate language, something to do with the birth of a king, the alma. The translator knew that it was had sacred overtones, and in Greek, sacred overtones would be virgin. And so he translated the alma as parthenos, which was right. You see? And so behold, the virgin will conceive and bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said, and call him Emmanuel, him with nu us el God. With us, God, Emmanuel. So Jesus, Joseph awoke, did as the angel had said, and of course had no relations with her. But that's how the birth of Jesus came about. So first you trace the whole genealogy. Now, on the day we have our choice, we can read the whole genealogy, or we can read just the very last part. This is how the birth of Jesus came about. But before we read either one, let's pray so that the marvel, the awesome, the humanity of this is impressed on our spirits. Amen.